our allocated time for human settlement to meet. We just wanted to put into perspective why there was a change of the agenda or the program. Initially, we had hoped that we will invite some entities to come and present to us today, rather than and then after engaging with the department, they then said, because there's a workshop of the department that is scheduled from the 4th to the 6th, and the entities are going to be presenting there, it will be like a repetition if they come and present again here and present again at the workshop, because we are all invited at the workshop, which they will confirm the venue for us from the 4th in the evening to the 6th, which is next weekend. So that's why then we had to change the agenda. We then felt that rather not have a meeting, let's deal with the legislative process of the portfolio and request the support staff to present to the members the legislative process. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And then after that, we will then make announcements about that workshop and the human settlement in Daba that is coming. So I just wanted to apologize to honorable members if there was a confusion in terms of what was happening today. So that's what we will be doing today. The item is the legislative process. So it's more of a workshop kind of thing than a meeting. So the support staff will do the presentation, and then we will ask questions and clarities so that we understand, so that when the time comes for us to engage with that process, at least we know. So thank you very much. I just wanted to, before I hand over to them, indicate that I had a few apologies. Honorable Member Tapa is not back yet from Eastern Cape. He had some engagement there with some family members, so he's only arriving in the afternoon. His flight is at about 11, so that's why he can't be here. In case we wonder what's happening, but he did apologize formally. Are you ready, Ms. Pasia?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, Honorable Khan.
Thank you, Chair. Just a small apology for Honorable Gada. She will be going out in between the meeting to attend to some urgent matters. So if she finishes those urgent matters, she'll come back again.
We won't be wondering what's happening, so that apology has been accepted. So what we have done then, because we have a plenary this afternoon, I had requested the support staff to try and make the lunch arrangement a little bit more substantial in terms of, so that when you leave here, if you can't go and grab something, you can be able to go straight to the house. So I'm hoping that has been done. Why? You have not updated me about that. But anyway, is there lunch arranged?
Good morning, member. Chair, I would like to apologize for the lunch, because we thought it's going to only last for an hour. By 12 will be done, so there will be no need for a lunch, and especially. I will explain it to you, Chair. My apologies. I would like also to tender apology for Mr. Sithole. He is attending the Public Works Portfolio Committee, so he's clashing with this one. And also Mr. Sheleme indicated that he will be coming later to the meeting. Can I proceed, Chair? Good morning again, honorable members. My name is Kholiswa Pasia, the committee secretary.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Thomani Manungfala, and I'm standing in for Mr. Lieko Tswayo, who's the researcher for this committee. I'm a researcher for water and sanitation.
I am going to present on the legislative process of Parliament. I hope my manager will join us soon. The purpose of this presentation is to outline the legislative process in Parliament. There are various types of bills that have been referred to Parliament for consideration and report most of the time. These four, the four that I'm going to focus on are the bills that amended the Constitution, which are in Section 74. They are called Section 74. And the ordinary bills affecting provinces, those are Section 76 bills. And ordinary bills not affecting provinces are Section 75. And money bills are Section 77. These bills you can get in the Constitution. They are in page 43 to page 50 of the Constitution. The National Assembly can amend Section 75 bills. That when the bill is referred to a committee, the National Assembly Portfolio Committee can process and amend that bill. And the National Council of Provinces, which is NCOP, may propose amendment to Section 75 bill, but it can't amend, but can only propose amendments to Section 75 bill. Such amendments can then be accepted or rejected by the National Assembly. The introduction of bills. It is the only minister, which is the cabinet member, or the deputy minister, or a member, or a committee of the National Assembly that may introduce a bill in the assembly. And the money bills are only introduced by the Minister of Finance, not by any other person, by the minister. When the bill is introduced, it will then be referred to the Joint Rules of Parliament. The Joint Rule 159, which we find it in this Joint Rules of Parliament. These booklets were circulated to all members. I think you have these rules, the NA, the Joint.
I have the green.
You have the green, don't have the Joint. How many don't have? Okay, so we will arrange for members to get the joint rules as well. So when the bill is referred to Joint Rules Committee, the speaker refers the bill to both houses or committees simultaneously. When the bill is referred by the speaker to the committee of the joint rules, The reason for that is to assist in planning, to assist the committee in planning their work, because the committee must know that there is a bill that is coming before it, and also to enable the committee to familiarize themselves with and to develop their position with regard to the proposed legislation. when a bill is introduced in Parliament, it must, without any delay, be referred to a joint tagging mechanism for classification as either a Section 74, 5, 6, or 77 bill. The joint tagging mechanism consists of the Speaker, the Deputy Speaker of the Assembly, and the Chairperson of the Permanent of the and the Chairperson and the Permanent Deputy Chairperson of the NCOP. The joint tagging mechanism is advised by the Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Offices, Legal Services Offices. Those are the legal people that are in 90 Plain Street, those that assist in also checking whether the bill is constitutionally correct, it's not contradicting with the existing laws in the country. So when the bill is the referral of a bill to a committee happens simultaneously with the referral to the joint tagging mechanism. The joint tagging mechanism then will, after it has considered the bill, and they will then tag it as a section 74, 5, or 6, then it will be referred to the relevant committee. Like a rental bill will be then referred to the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements for consideration and report. This then, the committee will then request the relevant government department to brief it. Then in that briefing, they will need to provide the background, the policy position, and objectives of the bill under consideration. The briefing also provides members with an opportunity to familiarize themselves with the contents of the bill and clarity-seeking questions on the content of the bill. Public involvement or public participation. The Assembly and the Council and their committees are obliged in terms of the Constitution to facilitate public involvement in the legislation, in the legislative and other processes. Public involvement may take different forms, including public hearings, a call for written submission, and issuing of media release. When the bill is referred to a committee and the committee received the briefing from the department, then the committee will have to meet and decide whether they would want to advertise the bill so that they can for public comment, and maybe it will request stakeholders to make submissions to the committee, relevant stakeholders to submit their input or comments to the committee. And public hearings will be held in Parliament or in provinces when the bill is affecting provinces. Then the public hearings will be held in provinces. The committee discusses the input received through the public hearing or written submission. When the committee is dealing with the bill, parties may express their views on the bill. The department will then respond to questions and expresses a view on whether the amendments put forward can be implemented. To signal the formal consideration of the bill, the chairperson will put the motion of desirability, consisting mainly or mostly of the long title, to the committee for consideration, which in most of the time the motion will read as follows: that in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable, and then the chairperson will read the long title of the bill. The committee will then proceed to a clause-by-clause consideration of the bill. Then, formal consideration. Amendments to clauses are also put for decision, and thereafter, the bill as a whole is put for decision. If the committee amends the bill, The state law advisor and the parliamentary legal advisor are responsible for drawing up the list of amendments and ensure that the amendments are constitutional. The committee secretary ensures that the amended bill is produced and that the list of amendments and the amended bill are printed by CREDA. So those are the printers that are assisting Parliament to print the bills and other papers of Parliament. These rodas are referred to as the proof copies of the bill. After voting on the bill, the committee's report is put for adoption. And such a report must indicate whether the committee agrees to the bill with or without amendments or rejects the bill. In its report, the committee must, if it is not a unanimous report, specify in which respect there was no consensus and express the view of any opposition concerns. A question is decided only if a majority of members, that is, if the quorum is present and there is agreement among the majority of members. Then, in the event of the equality of votes, the chairperson of the committee can exercise a casting vote in addition to his or her deliberative vote. After the committee has agreed to the bill, the committee's report is published in the ATC and the bill is placed on the order paper for the House for debate. Then the transmission of the bill for concurrence. The Section 75 bill, which is then was referred to the Assembly, after it has been considered and adopted, that bill will be then referred to the NCOP committee for consideration and report. Thank you. That is the presentation on the processing of legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Basia. Maybe before I open to honourable members to ask clarity of question and whatever, can you probably, I know it's not in your presentation, what happened? The bill has been sent to the NCOP, to the Select Committee for consideration. What happened?
If the bill is sent to the NCOP and the Section 75, the NCOP can only propose amendments. Those amendments can then when the bill will then refer back to the NA for consideration of those amendments. Like as it is now with our rental house, our rental amendment bill, the bill was adopted by the portfolio committee and then was referred to the NCOP for concurrence. Then they proposed two amendments, of which the committee, the portfolio, didn't have any problem. So those amendments will be then considered by the portfolio committee and then adopted. Then the bill will be sent to for the signature and assent by the president after we'll get with here in the portfolio committee. But if it is a bill that affects provinces, then it will go to the 6-week cycle of the NCOP. They will have their process of 6 weeks, getting having their public hearings in the provinces and all the processes that take place in the NCOP.
Okay, maybe let me let members ask questions and clarify. I know Honorable Kana wanted to have his head up, and Honorable Mukanga Kwabashe. Honorable Beck, did you want to ask?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me take those two hands for now and then we will come back.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks very much, Ms. Pastia, for the presentation. I'm just trying to think, because when one is new, you attend a lot of workshops, and sometimes in those workshops, a lot of things are said. One of the things that are said, obviously, proposing a bill, which we know it as a private member's bill. And someone told me that it's possible that a committee can propose a bill. I'm not sure how true that is, and basically what's the process to follow insofar as that's concerned. Because if I look at the page 5 of the presentation, you're talking about the it says here member. I thought I missed it. You mentioned ministers, and I think when you got to the member, the voice went low. But how do we then handle the bill if we were as a committee? Let's say, for example, I say, you know, these guys have been building, those who build social housing, RDP houses, and costing us a lot of money, and we need to put processes in place to deal with those people who build those houses. And as a committee, we agree that that's something that's needed. How will we go about doing that? Because I think from the minister's side, we get it already, they've gone through the departmental processes. But if it's us initiating that bill, what will we be expected to do? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Ghana. Honorable Muganga Kabasha.
Thank you, Chairperson. We appreciate the presentation. I'm on page 6 of the handout, of the handbook. On the second paragraph that talks about ordinary bills not affecting provinces, section 75, on line 2, it talks about ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those type of bills that are not classified as section 74. Or 76. If you go down to the second, the third paragraph that talks about ordinary bills affecting provinces, section 76. So to me, there's a contradiction. On this is clear on the presentation, but on the handbook, there's a confusion there. Can I get a clarity on that one?
What is the confusion,
Chairperson, is that at the second paragraph, the first paragraph that deals with those bills that are not affecting provinces, it says section 75. But when that is being elaborated, it said ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those type of bills that are not classified as section 74 or 76.
Okay, there will.
So you get it now. Mm-hmm. And then the second paragraph, it talks about ordinary bills affecting provinces, section 76. So can I get the clarity?
Okay, let me hand over to the team that side to respond.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with Mr. Ghana's question about the, as you already noticed that a member and even a committee can introduce a bill. The bill for a private member will then be referred to, you will submit the copy of your bill to the speaker, because the speaker has that team of the legal team from the parliament legal team. They will then go through it and see whether it will be a section 75 or 76 bill, then will be referred to the relevant committee. It will go the same process as the bill from the department. And my colleague will respond to Ms. Nganga-Tabashe's question.
Before you go to the second question, so that, because Honorable Ghana's question was two-pronged.
Okay.
It was about the private members' bill and the portfolio committee, which probably was partly clarified. But then I think, without going into details, the portfolio committee then initiating a bill would also go the same process.
Same process.
Is that what you are saying? Well, that's the question that he asked, the second part of the question. Maybe just go through it again, so that we know. He asked two questions, private members bill and portfolio committee initiating a bill. How do you go about it?
The introduction of the bill is the same. Because when you introduce the bill, you submit it to the speaker, and then the speaker will then.
I think let's start in the beginning. Let's say here is the committee, the portfolio committee. They now thinking of initiating a bill. What is the first step? I think that's what Honorable Kana would love to know. What is the first step? What do we do? Do you? Obviously, it will. This is a committee. Do you probably then sit with the legal team? That is taking up the committee to start that process. I think that's where we want. I think the process now we are clear from where the process starts. But I think his clarity is only the beginning of the process from the portfolio committee side.
Okay, Chair. I think I need to start like where the bill starts. No, like from the department side. Let me maybe clarify that part. From that, the department will have a document that is called a green paper. That green paper will be drafted by the department official. And in the case of the committee members and its support staff will then have to draft the what they want to be a bill. Then they will circulate it or in the department side. That bill will be gazetted so that the relevant stakeholders or interested groups will then comment and submit their comments and their input to the department. And then when that input is received, then the green paper will change to a white paper. Then that same process again of tabling or of putting it in a government gazette requesting for input, the department will then go through that route. Then when the white paper is adopted, that will then be a draft bill, which will be then referred to the cabinet by the minister. Then when the cabinet approves that white paper, then it will be a draft bill that will be referred to parliament. That will be the same case in the committee. The committee will then draft its own bill. That draft will then be considered, like if it's a bill that will affect other committees, then maybe a joint meeting with those committees will need to be organized so that they can have input from various groups. Then when that draft is, when the committee is satisfied that the document that they have is a proper document, they will then refer it to the speaker. So the speaker will then classify it, they will take it as a and classify it. I'm not sure whether...
No, I think we are trying. No, I think we are keeping. What I think what we wanted to understand is but I think we're quite happy. What Honorable Kana wanted to understand is that with your explanation, the same process is more or less the same as the private members bill. But this time around, it will be the committee that has decided that they want this bill. They want to initiate this bill. Then we will probably brainstorm workshop, have this document. Then once the document is done, and then we then submit it to the speaker. And then the speaker then will decide what is it? Is it a section 75 and then goes the same process as any other bill. But the only clarity that Honorable Kana wanted was the initial part before it goes to the normal process.
Okay.
Yeah. Honorable Kana, are you happy?
Almost there. Because I'm trying to see the role players. In a case of a department, a bill, the department will write whatever they write and propose. Then the minister takes whatever proposal from the department to cabinet, and cabinet approves, and then from once cabinet is approved, then it goes to the speaker. Then speaker takes, and then put whatever they are putting and then refers it to the relevant committee for deliberations and so forth. So now, if it's us as a committee, that process doesn't have to go to the cabinet, because so it starts from us, go to the speaker, then speaker takes it and refers back to us for deliberation, because that's what the problem is. If we deliberated at first and we came to an agreement that this is what we think it is, we have consulted the legal advisor, we sent to the speaker, because we are the relevant committee. The speaker, if it's a bill initiated by us, can the speaker refer the same bill to us for deliberation, having deliberated on it before we submitted to it? Because if it's just the taking, then because that's where the confusion is, because you cannot be the referee of your own way. So maybe we need to get clarity on that. Yeah.
I think from the clarity that we get, I don't know, because this is a workshop. I think from the presentation, one of the things that was said is that only a cabinet minister can introduce a bill. So what then it means is that even if we initiate it, Honorable Ghana, we are actually sponsoring the bill to the department. So once we initiate it, it must still go, the whole process, and it goes to the minister. And then it will come back after it has gone all those processes down to us, after we have sponsored it in the initial stage. I hope I'm correct. Because what happens is that when the bill has to go to the House, it can only be a cabinet minister or a deputy minister that introduces that bill. So it means even if we initiate it, at the end of the day, as the rule stands now, when it goes to the House, it must be introduced by a cabinet member. I thought that's what we need to understand. On this question?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we go back to which is used to be private members' bill? I know Honorable Ghana made an example of if something is affecting the work of the department. But when they were used to, but also I'm stand to be corrected or assisted by returning members, but also a member, Memezi, who served in the legislature, can assist him. My understanding is that when it was called a private member's bill, they
other members can't assist.
No,
you might be surprised.
No,
they
no,
would know
no,
more.
No, sir. And it's me now, I'm new here in the NA. But whatever I'm talking about is an experience of a legislature. So that's why I'm saying the other members who served in the legislature can assist. I served in the legislature 10 years ago. In 10 years, things have changed. Maybe they've changed. But the NL members who are returning members, they know better than us, because now we are touring. I'm using the experience of the legislature here in the NA. They'll assist me. Now, Chaperson, my understanding is that a private member's bill can be a bill that has nothing to do with a department, That doesn't have to go. My understanding is that a private member's bill may not go to a minister or a MEC. So that's can I be classified on that one? Number two, the other follow-up is that when you say if a committee wants to introduce a bill, they take it to the speaker. When you say the speaker, is it just a speaker as an office, or is a speaker through this, on your slide, I think it's page 1, 2, 3, if I leave out the purpose, or it's number 3 if I start from the first page. It says referral to joint taking mechanism, which is JTM. Here it says when you introduce a bill, you take it to that, I don't know whether you call it, because it doesn't say commit. I hope it's a commit, that JTM. Mm-hmm. So if you say you take it to the speaker, do you mean a speaker? Speaker as an office, or you mean this committee, because it constitutes by it's constituted by the Speaker, Deputy Speaker, and the Chairperson, the Deputy Chairperson of the NCOP. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The team will respond, but I think the last part of the question is, I don't think it's complicated at all.
Yeah.
You, as the member of the National Assembly, you have a private member's bill. You will take it to the Speaker. The Speaker will then decide if it goes in the JTM or what, but you, yourself, it goes to the Speaker's office. Then the process will unfold from there. Over to you, the team.
Okay, thank you. I will just answer the second question. I think it was asked earlier that there is a confusion on one of the slides. Let me quickly go to that that slide. It's not slide, it's on the...
Is that page 6, no?
Yeah, I think it's page 6 or something like that. Okay. Let's look at this now. There's no confusion at all or any contradiction on this section. I would like to read it out again so then we can follow. It reads as follows. Ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those types of bills that are not classified as Section 74 or Section 76 bills. So it's clear there that the bills that are not classified as 74, 76 are those ones that are not affecting provinces. And then it, when we read it further, to test to determine whether a bill must be dealt with in accordance with the procedure provided for in Section 75 or Section 76 has been decided in Tongaat and others versus Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs. So here they're just giving information that to test or to differentiate, to identify whether bill falls under 74, 76, it has been decided under through this case of Tongaat and then and the Minister of Agriculture. And it's discussed in detail under ordinary bills affecting provinces. Then the last paragraph there, it reads as follows. Only the Assembly can amend Section 75 bills, whereas the Council may propose amendments. These proposed amendments can either be accepted or rejected by the Assembly. So, Section 75, there's no, I don't think there's any confusion there as far as I understand it.
I'm not disputing Section 75. My problem is with the explanation. The explanation says those type of buildings are not classified as Section 74 and 76. But on the last the following paragraph, it says ordinary bills affecting provinces, Section 76. But above it says Section 76 is not affecting provinces. That's where my point is. The first paragraph says 74 or Section 76 is not affecting provinces. But the below paragraph says Section 76 does affect provinces. That's why I need to clarify.
I think I'm going to give to members, but let's first understand all of us the types of bills, the four types, so that at least we all grasp that part. According to page 3 of the presentation of Ms. Basia, just go back to page 3, Ms. Basia. But we all grasp those types of bills. But whatever question is asked, we, at least that part we understand. Because that part is clarifying that Section 74 bills are those that seek to amend the Constitution. We are happy with that. And then Section 76 are those ordinary bills that affect provinces. Are we happy with that? And then it goes further to say Section 75 are those ordinary bills that do not affect provinces. And then Section 77 are the monetary bills. Those are the four types of bills that you would have under normal circumstances. And then, once we understand this part, it's going to be easy for us. Once we understand that when you talk about a Section 74 bill, it is a bill that deals with the Constitution. Once you talk about a Section 76 bill, it's a bill that affects provinces, which therefore automatically it means it goes to SOP. Section 75 is those bills that do not affect provinces. And Section 77 is the monetary bill. Now, where is the confusion then? Read again your confusion, Honorable Nganga, with this background now, so that we can understand where the confusion is.
Chairperson, the understander even 10 years ago, what I don't understand are the explanatory notes that are here. I'm not talking about Section 74, it's clear. It, to me, being a bit confused if you become on Section 74, ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those type of bills that are not classified as Section 74 or Section 76. You see my point? All Section 76, that's where my confusion is.
All right. Can I come in? All right, thanks. I see what the problem is in that statement. The statement includes two not. So the second not is supposed to be out in the explanation. So that the statement, in essence, is supposed to read, ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those types of bills that are classified as Section 74 or 76 bills. The confusion is because of the second note. Because if you put a note in the first and you put a note in the second, it then negates the first note. That's in English in that we did. So this, I think, is a typo. The second note is not supposed to be there because the interest on page 6 of it. If you include the second note, it negates the first note. So the statement itself should read, ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those types of bills that are classified as Section 74 or 76 bills. Or ordinary bills affect, yeah.
No.
Can you put
no.
No, this explanation is
correct. Correct the way it is.
Come back. I don't have this document in front of me, so I'm just sharing. Continue.
Ordinary bills affecting other types of bills.
It's correct. Yeah.
Double
correct. Note. Yeah. It's correct.
Ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those bills that are not classified
as Section 74. Yeah. You see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to make it easier for your own understanding, after it says ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those types of bills, in brackets just put 75.
Yeah.
Then you will understand this. Then you read it with that understanding.
No, the statement is correct.
It's correct?
Yes.
But
there's no typo, yes.
Is it double knots a problem?
No.
It's a knot of a knot.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? It's a north of a north.
Yes.
Ordinary bills not affecting provinces. Ordinary bills not affecting provinces are those types of bills that are not classified.
Yeah, that is another statement.
I think next time they must write it in here.
Section
yeah, no, they have to use simple language.
Section 76 are those bills that are affecting provinces.
Yeah.
Now, ordinary bills not affecting provinces. Not, in other words, 74 and 76 affect provinces.
Yes.
That's what it means. Mm-hmm. English.
Yeah, no,
We understand the confusion.
If you're trying to explain something and you put double north, that's the next result. Because instead of saying if you're trying to explain section 75, you should have said that it's ordinary bills that are not affecting provinces and are classified as section 74 or 76. This is a complicated way of reading. Ever when there's this, it's a complicated way.
Legal people are always like to complicate things.
I don't think this was written by legal people.
But in essence, it's not wrong. That's what we're trying to say. It's not wrong.
But there's a reason why it was written.
And it's not wrong. That's what we're trying to say. It is confusing, but it's not wrong.
But I'm glad that you agree that it's confusing. Thank you.
Okay. Was there any other question that was not clarified?
Start with my original, which was I was number two after Gun, so I made a follow-up question after that on what was asked by Honorable Gun. So on those I have not been answered. I've been answered on my original question.
Although I cannot remember exactly the question, but I think immediately after the chair responded, so that's why then I went straight to the second question that you raised earlier.
Now that you are going into this bill, the rental housing bill, and obviously this is just a continuation. I think today Parliament is going, or the Assembly is going to say, let the bill be reconsidered again. Just for my own understanding, the first day that we considering the bill, This is the practice side, not the legal side or the procedural side, the practical side. What will happen on that day, and who is supposed to be here when we consider the very first sitting of this committee to consider the bill? What will be the people that are here and all those things? So that we know that, so when we get there, we know that we can ask the question, why so and so is not here.
Honorable Kurai.
Thanks, Chair. Mine was just, I wanted to ask the same question, but Honorable Ghana put it in the way that I didn't want it to ask. Because mine was only to just clarity on the same thing that we are going to deal with, whether, as a committee, are we supposed to start the everything fresh, or we are just going to continue with what the past committee did? That was my question. And I hear we're gonna talk about the Parliament to say go back and whatever. I don't know about that. Thanks.
Honorable members, is there any other question before I hand over to you? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We are just circulating out the rental bill, so we wanted to that member to have the feel of the bill, how it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we are not going to discuss it, but I thought I was going to refer to some part of the bill when I was presenting, but now it's just for information that to have it. And then I will respond to Mr. Ghana's question about the first meeting of the rental housing bill. We will request the department to come and present the amendments proposed by the NCOP, because we won't start the bill afresh. We will start where the fourth parliament ended. And we will request the state law advisor, our legal people here in parliament, to be part of the meeting, so that the state law advisor will assist with the amendments, so that we can be able to draft the amended list and all that for the committee. So it will be the department presenting the amendments, the legal people, the state law advisor, and our legal people and our members. And on the, I think the clarity on the rental bill, are you sorted, Mr. Farai? Okay.
Let's start by clarifying that the workshop is just a legislative process, so that in the event that we are dealing with the rental bill, you have the background, but we are not dealing with it now. The reason why it was circulated is that we wanted, so that you can refer to a bill that is within the department, to understand. But we are not dealing with it right now. So don't get confused and want to ask questions about the rental bill. We are not discussing it. The workshop itself is about the legislative process. I wanted to clarify that. It is being circulated so that at least if there was anything around the process, you could ask within a bill that is with the department. Honorable Ngaka Tsaba.
Chair, I have a proposal. What if, because we have our own legal, in fact, I was when the secretary was outlining first, and then on the second the statement she included, and I was happy with that, our own legal advisor for portfolio committee. How if we have our own meeting, and because it appeared on the minutes, there were minutes that were circulated to us by the secretary. I think it was on the, I can't remember if it was a package of the legacy report, but there was something to the effect that was explaining that the fourth parliament dealt with the rental bill, it went to the NCOP, and NCOP affected some amendments on it, and there was no time to deal with. I think they last dealt with some time in February, April. Now, I'm just wondering, what if we have our a committee with our legal advisor, and our legal advisor take us through the amendments and interpret those amendments, and we discuss it before we meet with the department. By the time we meet with the department, our own legal advisor has taken us through, so that by the time the department will dealt with that, and then we are able to argue if there is a need for us to argue about it, or shall I say the thing. That's my proposal, Chair.
The amendments proposed by NCOP were only two. They were just changing the National Assembly and the other. Only two. So there is no substantial thing that we can call other people to come and assist with.
Okay. We have your proposal, Honourable. So we just want to hear from the House if there's a second to the proposal, because it was... Okay.
Chair, because I read it, my issue, it clicked to me. My arguments were about to be consistent with, say, Parliament, NCOP, were very minor. So really, I thought maybe there might be substantial amendments. Not unless we want to effect new amendments. But if we continue, my understanding, we continue where they left off, because it's not a new thing. Those which have really said, now I remember, I read it. It was just about NCOP and provinces and then the national defense.
Okay. Honorable members, the legislative process. Can we go back to the legislative process? Are we comfortable and happy with the process the way it has been explained, so that at the time that then a bill is put before us, we would know, and we would know the processes and how to deal with it. Are we happy with that? Okay. Can I then safely say then this item has been exhausted? Can I get an indication that this item has been exhausted? Now, I just want us to quickly go. I think that there were minutes that were circulated to you. Can we then look at those minutes? These are the minutes of the 19th of August. Where the minister? Okay.
Before, can we be clarified by the our secretary in terms of the notice of the meeting? Whether, because in terms of the notice of the meeting, should eventually this committee agree that we put an item that says we are now going to consider the minutes? Because to me, if these people are for public, and if the notice of the meeting talks only about the workshop, and then I'll then propose for the sake of accommodating what the chair just said, propose a second item as the minutes of the previous meeting in the notice of the meeting, so that it should be read in that way. It must not become as if we are hijacking the items in the meeting.
I think I understand what Honorable Sarah is saying. According to the agenda that has been circulated, that there's no item that says adoption of the minutes. And therefore, when this report is going to be done, there's no, so he's just saying, let that item be in that, otherwise, now we are putting, I'm talking about in minutes that must be adopted, and yet they are not in the. Are we agreeing? Honorable Ngaka.
Chair, can I think it's good that Honorable has indicated this, but can I amend his proposal saying that because this was sent out as a workshop, can we just conclude it as a workshop and then we defer the minutes to the next meeting if they are not that agent? Thank you, Chair.
That's the proposal. It was a workshop, therefore the minutes must be deferred and we adopt them in the next meeting. Honorable Khan.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe slightly differ with the two speakers. In that, I think when we put the notice, you put the substantive element of that meeting. Say, for example, you cannot put in the notice of a meeting that you put everything, including the proposals that we can make in regards of the reports that we want to see going forward. What we want to see there is the substantive minutes are part of what we'll have to deal with, approve or reject them. But to put them in the notice, I don't think it will be. It's like a procedural flaw if you don't put it there. But I think we have to consider them. The point I wanted to put was that at the last meeting, we had not looked at the minutes of the other meeting before the last meeting, and that meeting was deferred to this week, and we haven't considered the minutes of the last meeting. So if you recall, when we started with the report or when the minister came to report, we said that at the next meeting of the portfolio committee we are going to deal with the minutes of the other meeting. So I think if we start deferring a lot of these minutes, I'm worried that by the third meeting or fourth meeting, we'll have a pile of minutes that we have to look at. But I don't think there's anything wrong if we were to adopt the minutes themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gala. Maybe we should have started by explanation, because it is true that there are minutes of where we had conductors that we didn't adopt. That's the minutes that we're talking about. And those minutes are ready, but I had asked the committee to hold on to those minutes because the report from the province, from the Eastern Cape, arrived. So I wanted the minutes to come with that report at the same time. so that we then, when we deal with those minutes, we deal, remember the report that we had requested, it has arrived. So that, that report, we wanted it to circulate it together with the minutes, so that we don't adopt those minutes and not deal with that report at the same time. So I want to partly apologize, because the report has arrived and the staff had to produce that report, and then it comes with those minutes. So it will, those minutes will come in the next meeting together with the report, so that we deal with it and move forward. I want to apologize about that. Can we deal with the minutes at hand? Are we happy with these minutes?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Can, are we happy? No, no dissenting voice. The only thing that we must just put in the in this minutes is the writing factor about the minutes of the previous that have not been adopted, so that they don't lose. We don't lose them in the stream of what we are doing in terms of following up. Yes, Honorable Kanti.
Thanks. Just to say that on page 3, you'll see that the minister, I guess it was the camera, said that we are going to do a housing visit in Middle and Zenduwe. Former MEC members, you might recall this. And I must report back to the committee to say no such invitation came to my inbox.
Ah, you are out of order. Yeah, we are adopting the minutes as they happen.
Then no, I have to report back because
no.
We are said in the committee meeting.
No, but we are not discussing, but you will have that opportunity. You will have that opportunity, but the minutes as they are correct. And I'm recognized out of order. No, but point note that, because then it must be a follow-up in the next meeting, because it has to. Yeah. Okay. Are we happy? Okay. Honorable members, before we close the meeting, I just want to remind, or...
I didn't hear moved. The mover.
Oh, the Honorable Baker moved for the minutes, and Honorable Kurai seconded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, there is a planned workshop that the department is planning. It's called a policy consultative workshop, which will take place on the 4th to the 6th of September. We then, initially they wanted it to start in the afternoon, but we then argued that there might be a sitting and everything on that Thursday. So it's starting in the evening, on about 5:30 on Thursday. And Thursday the 4th until the 6th of September. It will be next weekend. It's a policy, so all the stakeholders will be in that workshop. That's one of the reasons why the entities couldn't come today, because they will be in that workshop, if you remember what I explained. So this workshop is on the 4th to the 6th. The venue will be confirmed, but I just want members to diarize these dates. So it's starting at 5:30. We will communicate with all members where it is, because it would be desirable for members to attend, because that would be where the policy of the department will be discussed, and remember the breaking new ground and everything else. So this workshop is starting on the 4th. We are invited. And then there is apparently there's an annual indaba that normally takes place of human settlement. And that annual indaba will be taking place on the 25th and the 26th of September. It will take place at the International Convention Center. So we are also invited on that annual indaba. I'm just putting this date out there so that at least as we are busy with our programs, we work around those days. So the 4th to the 6th is the workshop. It's a policy workshop. And then the 25th and the 26th is a human settlement in Durban. But obviously, we still have time, so we will, in the next Tuesday when we meet, we will then give you the venue and everything else. But I'm just letting you know now, because the venue has not been confirmed of the workshop, but it will be around Western Cape. We're not traveling.
that's what I wanted to return in terms of announcements. Those are the two announcements. Ms. Pate?
Hello, Chair. I just want to remind you about our committee threat plan that is scheduled for 1920.
We still have time. That's why I didn't say it. We're looking at the possible 1920 for our threat plan to take place. The reason why we want 1920, we want to take it to take place after the workshop, the policy workshop, so that at least it's not confirmed. It's a tentative date, 1920, and it will be around Western Cape. We will confirm next Tuesday. So you've got September is a bit hectic. We apologize for this. The Chamber of Commerce is on the 10th of September. It's luckily it will be just during the day. It will be a Wednesday. So we will remind, because it's that week. So we will, next week Tuesday, we will remind members. It's on the 10th of September where committee members have been invited. So it looks like September is chock-a-block. Those are the announcements. But luckily none of them are happening before the Tuesday. So we will remind you again on Tuesday. 4th to the 6th, Policy Workshop of Human Settlement. 10th of September, an invite by Human Settlement. It's a working distance where they will be, that they would just want to meet committee members. Chamber of Mines. Sorry, Honorable Bar. And then Human Settlement in Daba, 25-26, possible threat plan of the committee, 1920 September. Those are the dates, but we will confirm as we move along. So those are the announcements. Thank you very much. Anything around there? If there's nothing, thank you for gracing us with your presence. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you know that.